We want you to plan for success. Welcome to Planning Matters Radio.
And welcome into the program. This is Rich on Planning Matters Radio. I am Peter Rashan, founder and CEO of Rashan Planning. And on this program, we're going to be talking about your money, your intentions with your money, your planning with your money, your desire, your hopes and dreams with your money, and how to plan effectively in this crazy financial world in order to work the plan and achieve your goals. And today we're just going to be talking with a few folks about their money and their financial situation and see what kind of challenges everyday people are facing and how we can maybe strategize and plan to better handle our money. With me for this first part of the program is Jenalee Carter, and she works in the office at Rashan Planning. So Jenalee, you hear a lot of conversations about money and financial planning and retirement planning.
Yeah, all day, Peter.
Yeah, you do. And you, I think, are pretty astute. You've got a good handle on your own finances. You seem to be the one in the household that's kind of, you've got the responsibility and the burden of handling the finances for your household.
Correct. And that seems to be the case for most households these days. One person wants to handle it and one person doesn't want to know anything about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that is a big theme in families, in the family dynamic between spouses, in households. There's always the yin and yang, right? It's not just money. It's kind of, there's balance in everything. And we tend to somehow end up with people who are not the same as us in many ways. So in your household, you're the one that's tracking every penny, pinching every penny you can, stretching every dollar, and paying attention to where it goes.
Correct.
Yep. I remember one time my mom wrote a check for my son for his birthday, and I sort of lost the check and misplaced it. He didn't have a bank account at the time, and she had written his name on it, so he couldn't go and deposit it. About 3 months later, she showed up and she said, "Hey, by the way, you have not cashed that check that I wrote for Braxton's birthday yet." And by this point, you know, I had sort of forgotten about it. It was still tucked inside of his birthday card. But she paid attention to her money that much to know that that check had not come out of her account yet. And you sort of strike me as the type that's paying attention to your money like that.
Yeah, that's actually a pet peeve, I guess you'd say, of mine. I do not like to write checks for that very reason. People tend to hold on them and not cash them. And then, of course, you forget about it. And if you're not paying attention to every time someone cashes a check or money comes in and out of your bank account, you might miss it. And you might miss budget for that week or that month or even 2 or 3 months down the road when somebody decides, oh, I found this check, let me go cash it. Well, now your budget's gone for that.
Right. You hadn't accounted for it that month. You had accounted for it several months back.
Right.
And then it went missing or didn't get cash, and all of a sudden it's upsetting. I get that a lot. And, you know, I think that is one of the reasons why, while online banking and this digital world with plastic instead of paper to make transactions, it's very convenient. But at the same time, we've lost a little bit of that accounting. You know, people used to balance their checkbooks every month and understand where their money was and how much they were spending. And pulling cash out of your wallet seems to be a little bit more painful than swiping a card. You tend to think about it a little bit more.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. And you know, it's also important, though, for more than just one person in the household to understand your budget.
You say that with just a tinge of frustration in your voice.
Well, for two folds there, you have the situation to where, you know, you have probably one person that is carefree and doesn't matter what they spend or where they spend it and are really not paying attention. And so they're not really concerned about it. And then you have the other person on the other hand who's watching it daily go in and out, and they might panic just slightly every time their spouse runs that card, not knowing what is even in the bank account. But then on the other hand, you know, what happens when one of you unfortunately passes away?
Yep.
That's another big reason. So, you know, unfortunately, if something were to happen to me, my husband's going to be lost for a short period of time because even though I discussed this topic with him, he does not care to sit down and find out what bills are where and where they need to go. His theory is when it gets cut off, I'll know I need to pay it.
Yeah. I have seen this in my career literally countless times. I can't remember the number of times where an individual's come in whose spouse has recently passed away, and that spouse was the one who handled the finances in the household. And sometimes they come in with their children, and their children are like, You know, mom doesn't know what to do, and she doesn't know where the accounts are, and she doesn't know how to pay the bills. So this is the paperwork I've been able to gather up. Where do we go from here? And there was no strategic plan. There was no conversation ahead of time. And it can be overwhelming. A, you're already in a situation that emotionally you're probably overwhelmed. And then B, there is not a concrete guide that most people have. Now, there are guides that exist, and I have helped people put together this guide for their individual situation. But what to do financially when a spouse passes away, a step-by-step comprehensive guide. And I have been planning for some Valentine's Day events in looking at protecting your spouse to the greatest extent possible, in looking at protecting your family and your loved ones. Ultimate act of love and caring and compassion would be to provide them some amount of protection. Part of that is laying things out, letting them know where things are, but you got to be receptive to that too. On the other side, you got to be willing to have those conversations. And so we don't want to leave our spouse lost. There are a number of things, I think, in our modern society, where the accounts are, passwords online, but where the bills are, where the bank accounts and retirement accounts and investment accounts are, all of those things need to be discussed along with having, obviously, those legal documents in place. So,
correct, Peter. And also another aspect of that is nowadays it seems as though, I guess I want to say younger generation, I am still in part of that, but a lot of people keep their bank accounts separate nowadays.
Yeah.
They don't have a household checking account or a household saving account. And so this person pays, three of the bills and this person pays four of the bills. But that also leads to the same thing. You know, if that person who was paying four of those bills goes away,
you don't even have that account in your name. Yeah.
Correct. You don't even have access to that. So a lot of that, in your legal documents, make sure that you include that somewhere in there that person has access, a payment upon death on your bank account.
Yep.
Then another topic going in there, of course, is life insurance, Peter.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it, the payable on death, the POD or TOD, that is essentially a beneficiary designation on your bank account. So making sure that somebody can show up and transfer that money, the person that you intend can get a hold and get access to that money. And then your beneficiary designations on your life insurance, on your retirement and investment accounts, and those legal documents in place. And having the appropriate amount of life insurance. And we see it a lot. Younger folks in particular, they have children at home, they've got a mortgage, they've got an income they need to replace, and they don't have the appropriate amount of life insurance or any life insurance at all. And during the oncoming of COVID, there was a rush of people who went out to secure life insurance. And it was actually pretty difficult at that time to get that processing because of everything that was going on. Life insurance and your legal documents are two things that you can't do the day after you need to have had them done. You've got to be proactive and plan ahead with them. So we are here to help and assist, but more importantly today, we're here to talk about some of the common concerns that you have with money and how you can talk those through and work those through. So generally in your household, what are some of your concerns? I know you've had some recent frustrations, but on an ongoing basis, what are some of the thoughts that you have when you're talking about money, when you're thinking about money?
Well, Peter, I actually am a little bit of a panicker and a worrier, and I like to plan ahead. So where my husband says I'm morbid, I think as in being prepared. So making sure that if something does happen to him, I'm at least able to cover our basics of basic needs. We even have a separate bank account that a car payment comes out of, because if something happens to him and that goes away and I have to give that car back, that's okay. That was not in my mandatory basic needs budget. We have vehicles that are paid for that. Just certain things like that. I have life insurance on my child. I had it the day I could get it after he was born, and that's very important and something near and dear to me, because I have friends that have lost their children and have had to make payments on their burials because they did not think, something could ever happen to my child, and so therefore they didn't get any life insurance.
Yeah, not a check you ever want to cash or receive, but nonetheless important, because you certainly don't want to have that horrible experience and then go in debt as a result of it.
So, yeah. So it's very important. Just the hard topics that people don't want to talk about, the what ifs and the whys. And while, yes, the world around us seems to be crumbling in this moment, and it may be even more frustration for you to sit and talk with your partner about what's going to happen in the future. And the future is so unclear right now.
Well, plenty of time to do that though, right?
Right. Plenty of time. You're stuck in the house together 24/7. But it's just, you know, take the time to sit down with them and maybe talk about it in a way to where, you know, it's not, it's always going to sound morbid when you talk about one passing away. But honestly, it's smart. It's one of the best things you can do, not only for yourself, but for your peace of mind and for your children.
Well, the way I view it is that my job as a planner is to make the bad things happen on paper and in the planning process so that people can be prepared if they ever do encounter those events in real life and not have it be as devastating or as detrimental. Or obviously, you know, when I'm talking about bad things happening, Murphy's Law, the worst case scenario occurs at just the wrong time, it's going to be emotionally hurtful and draining. But if you have a plan in place, if you have talked those events through beforehand, you're ultimately going to be better prepared for them and probably handle them better and make better decisions, because you don't want to be making knee-jerk reactions or not know how to handle a situation and not have a plan when the worst case scenario happens. So I think you're right. You know, having those conversations, it seems difficult, but I think it's more difficult in people's minds than it is in reality. And if you have those difficult conversations now, you can then go out tomorrow and feel like you've got that handled. It should be a burden off of your shoulders rather than something that's weighing on your mind heavily all the time.
Correct. You know, most of it, if you just view it the way I try to view it, it's paperwork. And we all hate paperwork, but as soon as you get it done, it's done. And it's lifted off of your responsibilities. Now you have that box and it's checked, and now we go to the next task in life. And that's just the way I view things. Everyone is not like me. So on my husband's end, he is more of a free soul and could care less if that box was checked or not.
Yeah. Same in my household. My wife, not the one that ultimately pays attention to the bank accounts or balances the checkbook. And so that's my responsibility. So I have to be even more cautious and take even further steps because I know that that is not her bailiwick and her area. So I've got to take the steps to make sure that she is as much as possible protected in those areas. You know, these are the same concerns that I think every American household has. On top of what's going on in Washington and what's going on in the stock market, is it a red day or a green day? How are my accounts doing? When's the next time the market's going to crash? It's these day-to-day kind of issues that really weigh on people's minds, and that is the reason why some of the bigger issues don't get handled and addressed like they should. I've read plenty of studies that say the average American could not come up with the cash for a $400 emergency. They're going to go into debt for that. The median 401k balance for those ages 45 to 54 is about $40,000. You know, those are folks that should be on their way to preparing for retirement, and that's not nearly enough for most people to retire successfully. And it's because the small tasks, the day-to-day routine tasks, are the things on our mind, and so we never even get to those larger tasks. You got to build your foundation. You got to start with the first things first and start with the easy stuff and the small stuff. And then you can really formulate your plan long term to get where you want to go. And I think that a lot of people feel like it's insurmountable. That I've also heard and seen plenty of statistics that people spend more time planning their vacation than they do planning for their retirement. And I believe that that is because planning for a vacation seems like something you can accomplish. We can do it. It's bite-sized. It's easy. It's a finite period of time. We're going to have a finite amount of money. Right. Whereas planning for a retirement seems
impossible. It's a short goal.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier for you to plan for a short goal and mark it off than it is to think, oh, I've got to look 20 years down the road and that's just super overwhelmed. You know, you can't do it.
Yeah.
You just get really overwhelmed trying to do that. But as I watch you and I watch you with your clients and, you know, you sit down with them and you make a plan, once it's on paper, it seems a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
And you know, easier to obtain.
Yeah. Well, the questions for vacation, right, are where are we staying? Where are we going? How much does it cost to get there? And how much do we want to spend while we're there?
Yep. And those questions are still going to be the same, though, when you retire. And if you plan right for retirement now, then vacationing is just, you know, that's just something you get to do when you retire.
Well, every day is a Saturday in retirement. And I know that right now, for me, I'm either earning money or I'm spending money. I'm either at work or I'm not. And on Saturdays and on vacations, that's when I spend the majority of my money. And so a lot of people are planning like Social Security is going to cut it, and that's all they're going to need in retirement, or like their income is going to substantially drop in retirement. And that's just not the reality of the situation. Retirement can be very long, it can be very expensive. And I tell you another thing that a lot of people are planning under the assumption that they are going to be paying lower taxes in retirement. By default, by de facto, if you are saving your money in a tax-deferred retirement account, like a 401k or an IRA, and you are not paying taxes on that money today, the default assumption, the reason you would do that is because you somehow believe that you'll be paying lower taxes into the future. And I would carefully examine that line of thinking today, because taxes have come down significantly since the 401k really started. You know, the mid-80s, the early 80s, somebody making $68,000 was in the 35% tax bracket. In order to be in the 35% tax bracket today, you've got to make over $600,000. But taxes could absolutely turn around and go back up. I believe taxes are on sale now. And so Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks, making conversions to tax-free retirement accounts, I think is a big thing. Again, these are kind of the more long-term questions to ask. And when we go through the planning process with individuals, we don't jump right there. We talk about first things first, what are your day-to-day financial challenges and questions and concerns? And once we get the plan put together for short-term and long-term goals, we try to give people a snapshot of where they are today. We talk about their hopes and dreams and what they envision retirement to be about. And we put those in writing, because a dream written down, that becomes a goal. So we have their goals written down. And then we try to map out a timeline of executable action items for them so that they can easily understand what they need to do in order to make those goals a reality. And then we're available for even short-term issues that come up, those day-to-day issues. And you know, like your family, two different people in a household, sometimes we play moderator. You know, sometimes we're the Dr. Phil, if you will, of the financial world, where we are balancing a couple different personalities and different descriptions of what we dream for and hope for and envision retirement to be about, or even what we think the next week should be about.
Well, right, Peter, because I know in my household, if I bring in a third-party professional, 9 times out of 10, my husband's going to listen to them way more than he will just talking to me.
No.
It's true. It's
true.
You
don't say.
So, you know, if you can manage to get your significant other to sit down with someone else to bring an outside view in, it usually does really help. And I've just seen that over and over in our office as well.
Well, again, that's what we are here for. And if you would like to have those conversations, if you would like a optimized retirement plan in your hands, simple, easy to understand language, steps, action items that you can execute on, that you can read and understand what you need to do, give us a call. Feel free. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to talk it over with you on the phone or through a virtual meeting or in person. And eventually, if it merits, we'd love to put that plan together for you. There's no cost, no obligation for that. We get all the way up to that step where you've got the plan in your hands before we even have a conversation about what our compensation is or what our costs are. And we are very cost conscious. Another quality, I know you are very cost conscious. You care what you pay for things.
I do.
I understand that people are like that. I am like that. And so before we cross the bridge, the threshold where anyone is obligated to pay anything for planning, they've got a plan, a tangible document in their hands, and they understand how we would help them execute that plan, what we would do on an ongoing basis to deserve any compensation. And we are very upfront about what that compensation consists of, what it would be. So if you would like that kind of conversation, and again, it's just that to get started, a conversation about your money, about your finances, give us a call. Rishon Planning, that's Rich on Planning, that's what it looks like, 919-300-5886, 919-300-5886, 919-300-5886. You can go online, richonplanning.com. Again, it's my last name, Rishon, but it looks like richonplanning.com. And right there on the website, you can also request a copy of my book, Understanding Your Investment Options. It's not exciting. It's not a page turner, but it's important information that I think if anybody does want to have a better grasp, a better handle and understanding of how to put your money to work for you, it's a great read. It's an important book for you to have. So I'll make that available to you for free. Go online, richonplanning.com, or give us a call, 919-300-5886. And Jenna Lee Carter, thank you for opening up a little bit about your money, your finances, and what that looks like in your household.
You're welcome, Peter. It was nice to be on with you.
Well, that was a great conversation. Certainly appreciate Jenna Lee sharing. And I got another one of our team members here with me now. This is a younger man. Landon Holland is one of our team members on our production side. He handles actually producing these radio shows for us. So, Landon, welcome in.
Hello, Peter.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What about yourself?
Doing well, doing well. Landon, give just a little background. You are in school. How old are you? What grade are you in?
17 years old, 11th grade at Fuquay Varina High School.
All right, all right. And you're earning some money now. You got a job, getting paid. What are you doing with that money?
Saving up. Not really trying to just blow all through it.
Okay. Good, good. You got anything on your mind that you're hoping to buy anytime in the future?
Plan on getting a better computer.
Okay.
The laptop I have now is really slow. Like, you'll try and do something, and 5 seconds later it finally starts to work.
Okay, so 5 seconds, that's a long time for computers today. I guess it is. Yeah All right, so you've thought about what you're saving up to purchase, and it sounds like kind of intentional with what that purchase is going to be. Don't want just any run-of-the-mill laptop or device or video game system. You're looking at like a real desktop computer.
A buildable PC, because it'll be better on the less expensive side.
Okay. And you can get the specs that you want.
Yes.
Fantastic. Fantastic, man. That's awesome. A, that you're saving. B, that you're saving with purpose and intention. And I think that's what everybody should do, but a lot of people don't. Like, a lot of people, the money comes in, the money goes out, they don't know where it went, all of a sudden it's not there, right? They've eaten out, they've bought a few things, they've got a couple new gadgets. As we get a little bit more affluent, they've got a new boat in the driveway, a new car in the garage, nice house, lots of things inside of it. But where did the money go, right? And so I think we need to have that perspective. As you're beginning to earn money and building up that account, saving should be a priority. And I want to let you know now, saving and paying yourself first should be the first thing that you do with your money, right? By the time you see it, the government's already seen it, all right? So you work, you put in your hours, you earn a certain amount, and that's what you expect in your paycheck. But by the time you actually receive your paycheck, it's already passed through the IRS's hands, and you only get what they decide is left over for you. So you pay the IRS first. Of what you have left, you should absolutely decide intentionally to pay yourself first. Okay. And Dave Ramsey, I'm a Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro. He's a big time radio show host and financial guru, and he talks about financial discipline and control and living debt free. He suggests, he's pretty adamant about it, 15% of your gross income should go toward your retirement accounts. Okay. Now, my suggestion for you is Roth IRA all day. Do you know anything about a Roth IRA?
No, sir.
Okay, so let me kind of explain it this way. When you're saving for yourself for retirement, picture it as you're putting money in an envelope and you're mailing it to yourself in the future. Now, when you open it in the future, there's going to be more money there because we hope for growth, right? With retirement accounts, if you qualify money as a retirement account, you get a few benefits. All right, and you can decide which benefits you want to have, but you also have a few limitations. Technically, you can't use the money until 59 and a half, right? That's what the government has deemed an appropriate retirement age. I picture two senators on the golf course, and one wanted it at 59, the other wanted it at 60, and they say, well, I'll meet you in the middle, 59 and a half. I don't know why they decided 59 and a half, but that's the age, okay? So when you are putting money in that envelope, you can make a decision. Do you pay tax on it now and all of the growth that occurs, and when you open that envelope, all of the money that's inside, you get to keep. It's 100% yours. That's a Roth IRA or Roth 401k. Or do you get a tax break for that money now? Do you get to make that money go in that envelope before the IRS sees it? And then when you open it in the future, they're going to tax everything that's there, right? Now, Albert Einstein said the most powerful force on the planet was the power of compounding interest, and I believe that the IRS was paying attention. They knew that if they let you make that decision and not pay your taxes on the seed, that when you opened up that envelope in the future, if there's growth on your money, you end up paying them more, okay? So for you,
being younger, having a lot of time for this money to grow, go ahead and pay your taxes now. Pay your taxes up front. Because you're probably in a much lower tax bracket and tax environment than you'll ever be for the rest of your life, especially 40 years down the road here. I think taxes will be higher in the future for a number of reasons. I fully believe that. But if I'm wrong about that assumption, and taxes are the same as they are today, and you've planned under the assumption that they'll be higher, guess what? You've got more money than you thought you were going to have in retirement. So it's not a bad, not a bad deal either way. So again, I would suggest for you the Roth IRA, and for most younger savers and investors all day, every day, I would suggest maxing out every Roth opportunity that you have. And even for those that are kind of on the doorstep of retirement or even already retired, we are in a low tax environment right now. We understand what taxes are today. We can buy the IRS out of our retirement accounts today. But if you keep deferring, we don't know what changes will happen with tax law into the future, and you are subject to those changes. So have you ever heard the saying, it's not what you make, it's what you keep?
No.
No? Okay. Well, let me tell you. It's not what you make, it's what you keep. And taxes are the biggest thing standing between those two. Okay? When you talk about what you make, that's your gross pay. And then after taxes, that's what's called your net pay. So it's not what you make, it's not that gross, it's what you actually get to keep. That's your net pay. And with your retirement accounts, how you're going to base your retirement, do you hope to retire one day?
I hope so.
All right. One day you don't want to have to work, right?
Of course.
Maybe you'll do something if you want to do it, but you don't want to have to do it just to pay your bills.
Of course.
That's the hope. You know, time is more valuable than money. Or else we would just keep working and working and working for more money. But yeah, that's not really how it works. We trade just enough of our time for hopefully enough money so that we can enjoy some of the rest of our time. And one day we reach the point where hopefully we don't have to work anymore. That's retirement, right? But in retirement, you got to think about that retirement account the same way. It's not what you have, it's what you get to keep. And right now, there's a lot of people out there with a $500,000 retirement account, with a $1 million retirement account. And they come in and they say, I've got $1 million. And I say, congratulations, let me take a look. Well, let's see what you got here. And it's all tax deferred. And I have to break it to them. Sorry, you don't have $1 million. You've worked hard to build this up. You're debt free, except for the debt that you have to the IRS inside of this retirement account. And really only $650,000 to $750,000 of this is your money. So how are we going to live off of that? And those are the conversations that we have with people. How to be efficient, how to be effective in planning, how to keep more of your money. So Landon, thanks for joining me. Thanks for sharing a little bit about who you are and your thoughts on money. But as we go along, you know, we'll have more of these conversations and hopefully you get a good handle now. Because if you save from the age of 20 to the age of 30 and then stop, you'll be better off than somebody who starts at 30 and saves all the way till age 60. That's how compounding interest works. So start early, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Landon. Thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have conversations about your money, if you'd like to talk things over, learn a little bit more, get a different perspective, understand better how to be efficient, leverage your dollars, have a plan in your hands that you can understand, give us a call. We're happy to help you. We're happy to have those conversations and put those together. I am Peter Rashan, founder, advisor at Rashan Planning. It looks like Rich on Planning. You can go online to Rich on Planning. You can request a free copy of my book, Understanding Your Investment Options. Or you can give a call and we can set up a time to talk. And if it merits, if you believe it'll be beneficial, a time to really sit down and get to business of putting a plan together. We do not charge for that plan. You have that plan in your hands before there is any type of compensation. And we have the conversation about exactly what that is and what it will provide you as far as benefits before you're obligated to any costs or expenses. So if you'd like that plan in your hands, if you'd like a free book, give us a call, 919-300-5886, 919-300-5886. Or go online, richonplanning.com. Appreciate you tuning in. Talk to you soon.
This has been Planning Matters Radio.
The content of this radio show is provided for informational purposes only and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. You are encouraged to seek investment, tax, or legal advice from an independent professional advisor. Any investments and/or investment strategies mentioned involve risk, including the possible loss of principal. Advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, a registered investment advisor. Annuity guarantees are based solely on the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing company. Withdrawals of growth from annuities may be taxable as ordinary income in the year it is taken. Individuals should review contracts for specific details of the products featured and costs. Early withdrawals may subject the owner to penalties, fees, or taxes.
Fiduciary duty extends solely to investment advisory advice and does not extend to other activities such as insurance or broker-dealer services. Advisory clients are charged a quarterly fee for assets under management, while insurance products pay a commission, which may result in a conflict of interest regarding compensation.